This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Should we just dive right in?
Should we just get right to it?
And for everyone, we do a tankathon sim. We don't just do the order. So Metcalf, go ahead.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so this was a tankathon sim. So if you, as we go through this and you're like, these standings make no sense, blame tankathon. Not our problem.
Lottery balls.
Okay. So first five picks, draft order. We had the Spurs jumping up to the number one pick, Portland at 2, Utah at 3, Pistons at 4, Washington at 5. Again, just Detroit Pistons cannot buy any luck.
It's unbelievable how often they drop. And also, I think everyone would be very, very passionate about the Spurs getting back-to-back years of number one. So,
and back-to-back Frenchmen. So I had Zachary Richechet go number one to the Spurs. I had Alexander Sarr go number two to the Trailblazers. Stephen Castle going number three to Utah. Reed Sheppard going number four to Detroit. And Nikola Topic going number five to Washington.
Wow, we're going to have some fun. I also went to France, but in a different way at one. I went Sarr to the Spurs. I said, screw it, let's get weird. I went Sarr. I went swinging to two to Portland. I did Zachary Richechet, three to the Jazz. I did Reed Sheppard, four to the Pistons, Modest Muzelis, and five to the Wizards, Rob Dillingham. Yeah, I felt really good. And then when we were about to hit record, I was like, man, I really got weird with like the 3 to 5 range. Love you being aggressive with Castle there. That's also a Danny Ainge special. I just kind of got to Utah at 3, and I was like, I would dare Danny Ainge to pass up Reed Sheppard, because he might be like, this looks like me when I was playing for the. But I also think Reed Sheppard and Keyonte sound like a very fun backcourt. Maybe you don't start them right away together, but maybe you have a very fun rotation. I could see Utah going in 87 different directions there. But I do like the Castle pick there, because that one might make more sense with Keyonte, them together. So I like where you're at there. Reed Sheppard to Detroit for you. I mean, it feels right, and I just don't know if they'll do it.
Probably not. I mean, he's almost the exact opposite of every, you know, assuming Troy Weaver still has a job, but Reed Sheppard is almost the exact opposite of every player that front office has drafted, where he can shoot and he's not some elite springy athlete.
Sasser and Reed Sheppard off the bench might actually ruin people's lives in a good way for Pistons fans. Like, it'd be really, that'd be a lot of dogs in backcourt coming off the bench.
Yeah, but then, you know, I'm even thinking about, you know, the role that he's played at Kentucky this year, where he's been off ball a lot. He hasn't just been a point guard. He's been more of a combo guard, and I think he could really easily play next to guys like Cade and Duren and Asar, whether he's, you know, kind of facilitating with his passing and running the pick and roll or finding Asar on those back cuts, or just playing off of Cade and being a just lethal knockdown shooter. If they dropped a four, maybe given their track record, a guy like Cody Williams makes a little more sense. A guy like Ron Holland makes a little more sense, but it also feels really redundant and it doesn't feel like it elevates the roster at all. At least immediately. And I think Reed Sheppard would fit in beautifully with those guys. Going back to the third pick with the Jazz, my kind of rationale with Castle was Danny Ainge has a pretty lengthy track record of taking the biggest swing possible and taking the highest upside guys. And with Risoche off the board, with Sar off the board, in my eyes, I think Castle is that biggest upside swing, where if the shot does come around, he's also taken a lot of prospects in the past who have had questionable shooting backgrounds, and those have turned out quite well. If the shot does come around, I think Castle's the best player in this draft. The defense has been absurd this year. The playmaking, the off-ball movement, the rebounding, all of it, everything besides the shot has been absolutely fantastic. And I still think there's more point guard in his game than what he's been able to show at UConn this year. So that'll help lessen some of the responsibilities playing alongside Keontae. But Castle's also proven that he can play in an off-ball role too. So all of these point guard reps that Keontae has gotten this year, by no means are they wasted, and he's just now back to being a shooting guard. You can play both those guys, really diversify the offensive creation responsibilities, and start forming a really, really interesting backcourt. So that was kind of my rationale with those guys.
No, I absolutely love the idea. If Castle clicks and you have him and Keontae together for years to come, like, Jazz fans might be like, whoa, that's rich at three. But also, like, if Castle's ceiling gets, if you get to that ceiling and you have Keontae, those two together would be just terrifying and a backcourt to roll with for years to come, because Castle's 6'6 with defensive nastiness and the great feel for the game. I love that. You know, it's interesting because I love that you had Topic at five. I just went with Dillingham because I was like, well, maybe Washington could just, like, hey, we get a little bit more firepower. I don't know.
I thought about Dillingham a lot there too.
I thought about Holland to Detroit very hard before I went Bazella. It's like, you could very easily talk me into Holland, but it's just, at some point they got to get some shooting, and I know Bazella's, the outside shot hasn't come around, but you're projecting that could happen. And I like his positional versatility for them a little bit better than Holland. But I still think Holland's going to be very highly thought of in some NBA circles by some teams, but it's another guy that we hear at a wide range.
Yeah. And the opinions with him have just been all over the board. And the highlight tape, the flashes are jaw dropping, where it's like, oh my God. But the stuff that comes in between the highlights has raised a lot of red flags. Maybe red's a little too aggressive. Some yellow flags, some question marks. Red's a bit aggressive. Apologies.
Yes.
But really, I think he's really going to be one of these big time. What's the context of where he goes? Does he end up being Josh Jackson, or does he end up being Jaylen Brown? And I don't think either end of that spectrum is totally unrealistic.
All right. Okay. Hit me with your next five.
Alrighty, 6 through 10. At 6, the Charlotte Hornets took Cody Williams. At 7, the Grizzlies took Modest Buzelis. 8, the Spurs via the Toronto Raptors took Rob Dillingham. 9, the Rockets via the Brooklyn Nets took Jacoby Walter. At 10, the Atlanta Hawks took Ron Holland.
Interesting. I like that little run there. Okay, for Charlotte, for 6, I had Cody Williams as well. 7 to Memphis, I took Ron Holland. 8 to the Spurs via the Raptors, I took Topic. 9 to the Rockets, Dalton Connect for me. And then Atlanta at 10, I took Jacoby Walter.
Okay, so a lot of similar names in that range.
we had almost identical names, except you had Castle in your top 10 and I did not, which I love. Yeah, I had Connect instead of Castle, and I love Castle, but I just didn't. The fits got a little weird for me. So, interesting. Where do you want to start? I do like Spurs fans should be very happy with how we projected both picks. Like, if I get one complaint from Spurs fans, I love you guys. I'm usually a big fan of you guys, but you guys have really been busting my balls.
You're feeling yourselves this year.
Yeah, really, really feeling it. Like, it's amazing. I can't please Spurs fans. So if one of these setups don't make you guys happy, then I'm out. I can't do it. I'll never root for the Lakers, but like, I just, you know, come on, go Spurs, go.
Let's start where we agreed.
Okay. Cody to Charlotte.
Yes. Let's start there. What was your kind of thought process there?
My thought is, LaMelo still, hopefully we're getting a full year of him healthy. Brandon Miller, year two is probably going to be a very scary development if he takes another stride and adds some good muscle and has a full off season. So I'm thinking more like an upside swing where you're playing with house money with Brandon Miller, Mark Williams still there. So I would be, that's where I would be swinging to be patient. You're hoping you're taking another step forward with your team and maybe not picking this high again. I mean, everyone could roll their eyes, but that's the hope is that you're going to improve the next year. So I would be the biggest swing on the board for me there would be Cody Williams. I know Ron Holland was on the board for me, but I think Cody would still have a bigger, we've talked about this on previous episodes. Like, what are you looking like at your second contract? And I think if a team could be that patient to allow Cody to develop, that's going to be where things are really going to get cooking. So I just thought, you know, go swing. That's where you could swing. And ownership, you know, it really comes down to you just hit gold with Brandon Miller. We've talked about Castle potentially being a little bit of a dark horse there. I thought about him there because I was like, maybe, but that's also going to be one where, like, Cody's got a huge range from who you talk to. And this year, it's only going to take one team to fall in love. And, you know, with a lot of guys, they could slip because it could be like, well, these teams don't think highly.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting. So I just thought upside swing there. And I still believe in the long-term tools with Cody. It's just going to take some time. What about you?
Yeah, it's similar kind of thought process where if he hits and you have a kind of wing duo of Cody Williams and Brandon Miller, you're absolutely ecstatic about that.
Oh, you're cooking.
Especially with LaMelo at point at 6'7". And then you have Miller and Cody who are, what's somewhere in the 6'8", 6'9" range, 6'7" to 6'9". I forget off the top of my head, but that's what you want. And I do think Cody is a pretty high field player. I still love the long-term. We can't emphasize that enough. The long-term outlook of him, the tools are very encouraging. Some of the flashes are some of the best in this class. It's just that consistency, that ability to kind of hunt his own shot, the handle, the ball security consistency. This last month has been kind of rough for him, and he's been bouncing in between injuries that entire time too, and that always makes it really difficult to kind of find your rhythm, find your groove, and really hit the ground running, especially this late in the season when scouting reports are out and other teams' chemistries and your own team's chemistry are really solidified, and you're just trying to find your way in. So I think that's something that really gets slept on a lot. And, you know, we'll get to him later, but a guy like Isaiah Collier deserves a lot of credit for being able to sit out that amount of time and come back kind of firing like he has. So I think Cody's going to have a really rough rookie year if he plays much at all. So I hope wherever he goes is they're patient with him. And I think Charlotte would be in kind of the situation where you can't afford to be patient a little bit. You know, they have new front office members. It looks like they struck gold with Brandon Miller. They have a really good young core with him, LaMelo, Mark Williams, and you don't need to rush it. Everyone wants to make the playoffs. You want to, but you can learn a lot by OKC and just being patient and not pushing all your chips in right away and screwing up some developmental stuff. So where else you want to look? Do you want to talk about the Spurs and their kind of collective haul between us?
Because let's get Spurs fans on our side for once. So I had Alex Saar and Topic. I went international for the Spurs. We're just going to have a great world gathering for Victor. A lot of foreign relations, keeping up with foreign relations. You had Richichet and Dillingham. I like your combo. Your combo is dangerous. Your combo gives a very big offensive punch. And I like the idea of Dillingham with Richichet's size and length and defensive versatility, Victor, Vassell. Like, that gets fun. That's why we've talked about how much we like Dillingham, but I was like, getting him in the right place. And that's why I'm like, well, look at where you just ended up with Dillingham and the pieces. Jeremy Sochan, we didn't even there's defensive guys to put around him. So I like that end up there. Like, at this rate, do I think he would last that long? Maybe not, but San Antonio could also be in a position where they're like, well, we're going to go up from 8 to go get him. But also, like, this order could be wild. Like, he could be on the board just because teams are going to be all over the place, and Charlotte doesn't need a point guard, but maybe they're taking a combo guard like Castle and Dillingham still on the board. Memphis, we don't know. So, I like how you ended up. I just thought Topic also was, you're swinging for me. If you got Saar and Topic, you're really swinging.
Yeah.
And you're hoping Saar develops into a fantastic running mate alongside Victor, and you're 7-5 and 7-1 next to each other with serious defensive nastiness. And then Topic is the guy that can make life easier for both of them. You'd need to get some shooting around him. But I would like that foundation a lot. So what do you think?
Yeah, and I think we kind of had similar approaches where let's take a couple big swings right off the bat, identify best player available with high upside who can contribute on both ends of the floor. And, you know, Saar and Richichet are very different players, but I think they both have that, where Saar is a little more advanced defensively, and I think Richichet is a little more ahead offensively, but they both have a tremendous amount of defensive or offensive upside respectively. Additionally, I think they're both really kind of interesting fits in that team, where Wimby's the dude. It's very clear that he is looking like an all-timer. He looks incredible, and that kind of makes it really easy to throw whatever you want in that rotation with him.
Yeah.
And I know defense of Wemby and Saar is horrifying. The mobility, the length, the rim protection, it is horrifying. But I kind of have a similar mindset with Richichet and him and Vassell and Sochan and Trey Jones and, you know, even Keldon Johnson to some extent. But the length there, and then we get to the second pick, their second top 10 pick, and it's a similar process of, okay, well, they added size, they added defense, they added, you know, some offensive versatility. Let's add some offensive punch in the backcourt. And Topic is the big home run swing. That's why I took him at 5 for the Wizards, because I think they're that type of team where you can't afford to take that massive swing on the youngest player in this draft. Dillingham, this is one of the few contexts where I'm like, I don't care that you can't defend anyone, because Wemby's covers all that. Richichet can cover a ton. Sochan, Vassell, they can all cover for you. So even though you're not going to be a good fundamental defender and it's going to drive Pop absolutely insane, you can still be overly aggressive and gamble on passing lanes and try and go for steals and hunt turnovers and stuff like that a little more aggressively, because you know you have all of these freak athletes with tremendous amount of length waiting behind you. And even Trey Jones, you can pair him with Rob and kind of have a bit of a facsimile of the Reed and Rob pairing at Kentucky this year. So I think the Spurs are in a really fascinating spot. And either of our hauls, I would be really, really excited about.
Yeah, and I don't want everyone to overreact about Metcalf going on about Dillingham's defense. I think what you're trying to say is you're drafting him there at that point of saying his NBA skill, we can hide the concerns. We can hide his weakness because of everyone we have around him. The fit makes more sense. Like his NBA skill, which is his offensive firepower, really helps us a lot now with everyone we have around him. So that's where I completely get it. And, you know, I have Rob going 5, you have him going 8. I could see him going 3. Like it that's the type of draft this is.
You he's 6 on my board. So it's like,
I have him in my top 7. You could talk me into any order right now. And it would, I get it. Like you said that on a previous episode, you're like, you could make an argument for a lot of guys to go a lot of places in this. So that's why it's like, we've got a long way to go. Everyone can't get worked up about March mock drafts, because when we start getting some serious intel in the buzz of this pre-draft process, things are going to look very different. It's going to be like, what? Like it almost, some of the stuff we've already heard lately, we're like, excuse me, you have him there? Like it's, people better buckle up. So I like our top 10 so far. Go ahead.
All right, let's move on to 11 through 15 after this quick ad break.